Hallelujah. And I don't know that I'm going to be short-winded this morning, so I don't want to step on your toes, but I just feel like God said, that's enough. Let's get going. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I got it up there. I'm like Bill. I don't know where I'm at. Hallelujah. I got some material that I want to cover this morning with you, and I want to get started. Is that all right with y'all?
Amen.
All right, good to see all of you. Put on your calendar that church business meeting. One of the things that we want to do in that church business meeting, y'all need to be praying about this. Since Mom and Dad died, we spent the next 5 months trying to recover from the lack of planning. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we've managed to accomplish some of that in our own lives. And we realized that when this is a piece of advice for everybody in here, when everything you've got is based on you, you need to make some other provisions. Amen. That makes sense? Yeah. What if I wasn't here, I went to be with the Lord? What if these things kind of happen? You're not being responsible unless you can make some plans for that, some governmental plans. Does that make sense? And that's what we want to accomplish in that business meeting, is put down some kind of established government in this place to where, whether you leave or, I mean, you die or I die, let's use that word, we seem to be afraid of it, things could go on. Yeah. Come on. I know nobody likes to think about that, but seriously, we just went through 5 months of nothing, but actually we got another letter, so we've got another thing we've got to accomplish. It's because things were not handled properly. You understand? For those people that like to procrastinate, what you're doing is you're punishing the next generation. Really. My dad was the worst procrastinator in the world. And the older he got, the worse it got. And so, anyway, we may have to make a quick trip down to Texas again. We got, you know, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. You know, somebody wants to cross our land to check for oil, but they got it in his name. They can't get it straightened out, even though I've supposedly got things straightened out. So anyway, we'll let God take care of all of that. Yeah, if it would have been done properly, we could have saved ourselves a lot of money and time and miles. And all right. Is that good enough said?
Amen.
Put it on your calendar. What day was that?
30th.
All right. Put it on your calendar and let's go ahead and take care of some business. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today and your presence. Mostly your presence. You promised in your word where two came together as touching anything. And we've got more than two here. You said in your word that we were supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Evidently, if we assemble, that means you have a blessing for us. We receive that by faith and in Jesus' name. We're going to leave here more learned, more able than when we came. Because your word will be open today and you will be revealed. And where you're revealed, blessings are revealed. Opportunities are revealed and futures revealed. So by faith we receive all of that in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to do a quick review again. This is the series God's Will is a Trip. It's part 5. Last week we had There's Always a Reuben. This week the title of the message is There's Always a Master's Wife. There's always a Reuben, but for there to be in a successful Reuben, there has to be a master's wife situation. All right. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Y'all stand with me again. I want you to purpose in your heart that as we stand, we're going to read the word, but we're going to accept this as truth in our lives. Because every one of us are faced with trials and tribulations. What we're doing is speaking those out. We're speaking that the devil wanted them to be bad, and God has turned it to good.
Amen.
Right? All right, Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" And of course, the answer is yes. It's exactly where God wanted him to be. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, But God meant it for good. Why don't y'all speak that with me into your own lives? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. Hallelujah. That ought to set you free right there. Let's continue. In order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And everybody says, amen. Y'all be seated. Once again, as a review, we're studying and learning that God has a plan for his people. Everybody in here finally going to swallow by the faith pill that God has a plan for you.
Yep.
It's a good plan. It's a great plan. And it's to keep people alive, according to this scripture. He has a plan for each one of us, and then he has a plan corporately for us. And I'm going to say by faith that that plan has already been revealed in your lives and in our lives. We've just let it kind of die. If you don't fan the flame on the vision, you lose the vision. All right? If you got a homework assignment, then what we want to do for this next week is I want you guys to go through your minds and your remembrances. By the Holy Spirit, you'll do this. And you'll remember the words that God has spoken to you over your lives, and you'll fan the flame on that. You'll get it alive again.
Amen.
You won't let it be stolen. You won't let it be stifled by all the problems of the world.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Again, I say to you, we've also seen that God's plan comes with a requirement of an action on our part. A speaking to you is not the only action that has to come. Number one, a full belief that it is God. You know good and well, when God tells you something, the first question you ask is that God? So you have to be persuaded that it's God. Number two, you have to have a knowing that if God said it, it'll happen.
Amen.
Number three, if God put it in us, he will carry it out.
Right.
Number four, it is his plan. He must make it happen.
That's right.
Or he's not God. Okay. Number five, all we do is believe and obey. Okay, let's quickly go over what we've already covered. A, the plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph.
Right.
Why do you keep saying this, Stan? Because I want you to understand that God has been planning something in you way before you.
Yes.
It began by placing a training on all of those before Joseph in the right place at the right time. B, there are specific preludes to our call. God will do specific works before our call that if we study it, we'll understand about our call. You hear me? I even shared with you a little bit last week about how you wonder how come sometimes you've seen my faith work, stay steady. It's because the prelude that God had done in other people's lives before me.
Yep.
C, do not assume that because we know it is God, it will be easy. It will take total faith and determination to accomplish God's will. It also takes time. I haven't said that enough. It doesn't happen quickly. D, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world.
Amen. That's right.
E, there's always a provision. This is covering last week. There's also always a provision to keep God's will alive, no matter how sure the enemy's plan is. You know the enemy's sure about a lot of things?
Oh, yeah.
And I know some of you don't understand me sometimes, but the only way to be sure is to be more sure than the opposing person.
Right.
Place, thing, enemy. Mm-hmm. The only way to come out sure is to be more sure than the opposition.
Yes.
It's because there's two sureties here. All right, let's get started today.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 39, and today we're going to read it all. There are a lot of points. Sharpen your pencil. I'm going to give you about the alphabet full in this chapter. Now, everybody remember, this is about Joseph. This is about his trip from the pit to a ruling position, all of it being God's will. Please remember in your mind, all of it being God's will. What was the purpose of his trip? To save the country, actually most of the world, through a tremendous famine, protect God's people, and provide for them. And it cost Joseph. Right? Okay. All right. Genesis chapter 39. Joseph was thrown in the pit. He was pulled out of the pit. He was sold to a slavery train. Here's where we begin. Verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, one thing I failed to remind you of is that all of this is because Joseph saw a plan of God. That's why he began this punishment. If you call this punishment, it's still the will of God. Okay. A. Now remember, sold into slavery, taken from a fairly wealthy home, good clothes, good position, thrown into slavery. A. We must know that we are in God's hands, even if it looks like we're in Satan's hands. Right, Bob Heller? Even when your hand is hurting, right? We must know that we are in God's hands, even if it looks as if we were in Satan's hands. I reminded you of a little story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and asked you recently, when would have been a proper time to give up? Well, it looks like this would have been a good time. Right? It looks like it would have been a time to make a decision that maybe this wasn't God's vision after all. I just messed up. Now, don't look at me that way. All of you have been there if you're not there now. Seems like lately it's been that way every day. Which I've already told you. That's just, God has already told us we're just about over the hump. Amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. B. We must believe and know that we are successful, even when we are destitute in some eyes. Now, this man was a slave, so he owned nothing. That means he was destitute. But God said he was with God, God was with him, and that made him successful. He had to know that, or he could not have stood this trial. One of the things you need to understand, whatever trial that you're going through, or I'm going through, I have to know that God is with me, or I truly am destitute. If he's with me, then I'm truly successful. 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, if somebody watched your life, would they know that the Lord was with you? The master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. C. Others will see as God dictates. Now listen to what I just said. Others will see as God dictates. Everybody else but the master thought he was a slave. The master, who God was dictating how he saw that he was a treasure. And they must see success for God's plan to go forward. Others must see success in us for God's plan to go forward. Do you have to be rich? No. Joseph wasn't rich. He was a slave. 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Y'all got that in your Bible there? Served him? One of the things in the United States that we hate is that word. We love it when we go to a restaurant. We love somebody to serve us, but we just don't want to be the one doing the serving. But Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Let me say it correctly. Joseph served him and found favor in his sight. Then, after he became a good servant, he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So D is, as we serve, we'll be promoted. As we serve, we'll be promoted.
Right.
See, Joseph could have stood on that soapbox and said, No. I know the vision God gave me. I know who I am. You just hadn't figured it out yet. And it wouldn't have gotten him anywhere.
Right.
He had to walk in the vision even when nobody else could see it, which required him to serve to be promoted. Verse 5. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer over his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. This is truly God's blessing. If the other person is served, those that we served will be blessed. And by the way, so will I. You understand? God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Can I put a little ad lib in there for you? If God is in us, whatever we touch will be blessed. And we need to stop being foolish and being jealous, be jealous of how God blesses. We just need to make sure that we know that if I'm in the will of God, I'm blessed. And if you get a great blessing from that, no jealousy. I cannot be jealous. If I look like I'm serving you and all you ever do is get blessed and I don't seem like I'm getting blessed, I need to thank God anyway because I know what's happening. God's blessing for my sake. Do y'all need to hear that again? God's blessing for my sake. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference if it's an attorney. It doesn't make any difference if it's an enemy. This Egyptian was an enemy to Joseph. He served him and blessed the Egyptian for Joseph's sake. Man, if we could just chew on that for a while. Verse 6. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate, and Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Oh. Joseph was hot. His master learned to trust him with everything. Was his wife part of everything? One person understood that. All right, F. Sorry about that. F. As we walk in God's call, we will be attractive in some way to others. Now, I got some news for you. If you don't understand this, you're not going to understand anything. You got God in you. You're already attractive. That's just the way it is. Now, it's also what you got to guard against. Reach over there and punch that attractive man. I'm trying to tell him how good he is. Richard, I'm going to say it again for you. If God is in us, we are attractive. We just read that Joseph said he was attractive. Or the Bible said Joseph was attractive. If God is in us, we draw all to us. Is that what it says? So now all I got to know is that I'm hot. You know why I need to know that? Because somebody's going to try to get me. And if I don't know I'm hot, then I won't be expecting it when it comes. Do y'all understand that, or do I need to get more graphic? I'm telling you, when God's in you, somebody wants what you got. And it's probably going to come in a wrong form. Verse 7. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now Reuben came along. Now remember, Reuben was not a man. Reuben is a form. Reuben is a provision of God to protect the life of Joseph. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Why? Because at the time, Joseph had no way to defend himself. He was outnumbered tremendously. So a Reuben force, the provision of God, will provide for your life force. But then you got to worry about the master's wife. Now, are we talking about women? Uh-uh. No. We're talking about a temptation that's very, very, very strong. Now, I hope you get this by the time we finish this message. Has nothing to do with the gender. It has to do with you being attractive, and you know it, and somebody else trying to take advantage of it. That's not advantage. It's trying to touch you at your pride point. Trying to touch you at your pride point. There's always a master's wife. You can count on this. If there's a will of God, there's a master's wife. Gee, the world has a difficult time understanding the difference between respect and lust.
Amen.
See, the master's wife greatly admired Joseph, as the master did. The difference is, women operate different than men. So she said, she thought that by going to bed together, she could get what he's got. She didn't understand that's not going to get her anywhere. But the enemy doesn't understand anything anyway. All he wants to do is kill you, kill your influence, kill your relationship with God. Verse 8. But he refused. He refused. One of the things in this United States that I can't stand, and if you want to know half the time why I'm mad about it, and it comes out sometimes as being what you perceive as anti-woman, it hasn't got anything to do with it, it's anti-man. We've been told in the United States that men can't control themselves.
Not
true. It's a lie from hell.
Yes, right.
Just because you don't control yourself doesn't mean you can't.
That's right.
In the garden, the master's wife offered a fruit. All he had to do is say, "Don't want that fruit." He wasn't man enough to do it. If you're going to be a child of God, you're going to start being man enough to say no, no matter what the temptation is. He refused. First time, Reuben was sent because he couldn't refuse death. You understand what I'm saying? He was outnumbered, and God had to make a provision to save his life. Second time, it was all on his shoulders. He had to refuse. Or this is where God's will ends, right here. He refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I." I'd like for you men to get up, put your dancing shoes on, and start saying, "There's no one greater in this house than I." Then you'll learn that I don't care what temptation it is, you are the overcomer. You are the power. Now that would also apply to you women too, but let's work on the weakest part of the gender right now. Seems to be the men. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. I'm over everything in this house, but I don't touch you. Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now another thing you got to get drilled in your head this day. You don't commit adultery with a woman. Men, women, you don't commit adultery with a man. You can only commit adultery against God. There's only one sin, and that's not standing upright before God. H, God's servants will be trusted by those that they serve. God's men and women will be trusted by those that they serve. I, God's true people will be stronger than any temptation that comes their way.
Yes, amen.
Now, this is not a Baptist church. I'm not going to preach to you that you're going to fall into sin every day in thought, word, and deed. It's a lie from hell. I'm telling you that you have dominion. That's what God says.
Right.
And you are to stay in dominion and not fall into sin.
Yeah.
Anybody get mad at me about that? Because I'm going to come back and look right in your face and say it again. I'm going to be bold about this one. God wants an upright, righteous people. He gave the Holy Spirit to accomplish it through us. He gives us information and remembrance. He gives us every tool in the world to resist sin. And we don't have any right to turn it down.
That's right.
J. There will always be a master's wife, a temptation, or a very strong, sensible lure to give up God's will. Now, in case you don't know, sex is sensible. Y'all got quiet. There'd be a few of you, I'd be saying amen. If you can't say it, I can't. Amen. Sex is sensible. I got one smile. It's sensible because it's from the mind of God. Okay? It is not only, you're plumbed that way, thank God. It's sensible. So this temptation that came was using senses. Old Joseph could say, she's fine, I'm good, let's go. He's not here, he won't know. She ain't about to tell. And, of course, one of the strongest senses. It's the two things that I'm talking about, a very strong sense and a sense. There will always be a master's wife or a very strong, sensible lure to give up God's will. It's kind of like if you were the fish and the lure came in. Looks like food, smells like food. I'm hungry. Everything's right. Bite it. No, you forgot to look for the hook. You need to be. We're the ones that's supposed to be smart enough to throw a hook out, not bite one. Okay. When we sin, we only sin against God. And I'm going to ask you from your heart, is that enough reason not to sin?
Yes.
If you break God's heart, isn't that enough reason not
yes.
to sin?
Yes.
Verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Y'all notice that? Just in case you think you have to do is say no once. Got some information for you. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Now he's covered the... He's separated himself from her. You understand that through this scripture? He's refused to lie with her, and now he's staying away from her. Which is, let me tell you something, guys and gals, and I don't think there's anything else in between. There better not be. We'll pray for you. You're going to either get involved or you're going to get away. You're not going to stay in the same room with the temptation that says, come lie with me over and over and over and make it. It won't happen. You're not that strong. L. The enemy will not quit, will you?
No way.
Verse 11. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. A plan. That she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. M. You will always be left alone. Just you and the temptation and your faith. I'm sorry. It's the way it boils. It's what it boils down to. You don't understand that God tests you. Not for a game, so that you'll know what you where you fail or make it. So when the temptation comes, you'll always be alone. You and the temptation and your faith. And now we're going to find out which is strong enough. You got three things here. You, the temptation, and your faith. And you want to go along with the temptation. Y'all get that? You, the temptation, and your faith. And you are going to want to side with the temptation. So your faith has to be strong. All right, I promise you, you're not going to leave your garment. N. It is always your decision. It is never someone else's decision. Oh, it just happened. Oh, no, it didn't. You made a decision. Come on. We're getting down to plain old childlike black and white here. Tanya, you asked me something last week, and I'm telling you, this has helped me And I want to tell you that you were used by God because God's been dealing with me about this. She asked me, kind of like she wanted to stab me a little bit, do you think everything you do is right? And I answered, yes. And God has been dealing with me, not chastising me, but making it, just in this message today, I got goosebumps about this. You need to do what you think is right all the time, or don't do it. Amen. That was my answer. And boy, I mean, if you don't think that didn't grow me some, you're talking about it grew my faith. It grew my decision-making process. So thank you. And I'm serious about that. You need to hear what I'm saying. If it's not right, don't do it. If it's right, do it. Amen. And you stand righteous before God. Amen. Right? Amen. It is you. You will make the decision. And you'll be held accountable for the decision, no matter what the decision is. So you better make sure it's right. Do y'all really believe that about God?
Yes.
Do you understand the Scripture says that your name is written down and there's notes being taken constantly?
Yes.
Does it say that? So I want to make sure that the right notes.
Amen. Amen.
It is always your decision. You can never say, it's that wife that you gave me, or it's that master's wife that you gave me, or it's that temptation that you gave me. It is not allowed. Y'all are just not amening me worth a hoot. I don't know if you don't like what I'm saying or it's just scary. I'm just telling you for a fact. We spend half our life blaming somebody else for a decision we made. I still want to thank you again, Tanya. I can't tell you how much that God has helped me with that. Encouraged me. I'm trying to encourage you with that. Don't blame somebody for what you did. Blame you, repent, turn from it, and be set free with that.
Amen.
If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, turn, leave, whatever it takes to get out of town.
Amen.
If something's got a hold of you, get rid of it.
Amen.
It's exciting to me.
Amen.
It's exciting to me. Verse 13, and so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us. You know, see how that works? When you're dealing with the master's wife, with that temptation, with that argument, it won't be long for somebody else's drug in the picture. God deals one-on-one. Anytime you see the enemy's influence, it'll be a we. Are you hearing me? The enemy's going to bring a we in there because he thinks he can outvote you with numbers. I want to read again. He has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. Now we're going to bring in race. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. Oh, you are nearly always betrayed by a trusted one. Because he trusted her. He thought that she would do whatever the master told her to do. And she didn't. You'll nearly always be betrayed by a trusted one. P. Here's the statement. You'll always be wrong. They'll always be right. Always. This is the way the enemy works. If you try to do what's right, I promise you, if you try to do what's right, somebody's going to be faithful to tell you you're wrong. Always. She lost her battle. She's insulted. She's jilted and rejected. And now she's going to kill you. This is the enemy we're talking about. We're not talking about a woman. We're talking about the enemy. You know he doesn't like to be rejected, don't you? Makes him very angry because it shows him how little influence he has. Verse 16. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Now let me give you a little addition here. This is no extra charge. Someone that's being used by the enemy is not ashamed. They're just a liar.
Yes.
Now do you understand what I'm going for here?
Yes.
Look at this verse. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. She committed the sin. But she wanted evidence to prove that he committed the sin. And she's bold in that. The enemy is not afraid to be bold.
Right.
See, you have a problem. As a Christian, you don't understand. Because you are ashamed if you sin. As you should be. But if you're an enemy, you'll never be ashamed of your sin. You'll be bold in it. And you'll try to tear somebody up with it. You'll try to kill somebody else with it.
Yeah.
It's the way the enemy works. Verse 17. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me." Another freebie. The enemy doesn't mind trying to destroy the innocent. And I'm not talking about Joseph. I'm talking about the master now. The enemy will blame even the innocent. It's that enemy that you brought in to me. The reason this happened is your fault. Verse 18. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out. See, I'm the right one. I did everything right. Everybody else is wrong. Please, you're not taking good enough notes. Write on your one note. If it sounds like this, it's the enemy. If I sound like this, I'm the enemy. If I'm right, I did everything right, and everybody else did wrong, I must be the enemy. That's a poignant pause. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. That's not where I'm at. I'm on 18. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. She said that twice. Notice that? Q. If you are doing God's will, the only way to be attacked is with a lie. If you're doing God's will, the only way that you can come under attack is with a lie. We are taught in humanity that I can't be perfect, so if somebody accuses me of something, I must have some fault, even if it's not all fault. That's a lie of the enemy. I can be perfectly right, and I can be told I'm perfectly wrong. And until you understand that, you'll never be able to do the will of God.
Yes.
Now let me go a little further. I'll just use this as a casual statement. Generally speaking, the more you're attacked, the more you're doing right. Generally speaking, the more you're attacked, the more you're doing right. If you can't see that in this story with Joseph, get the blinders off, man. This man was attacked from, and this is years. This is not quick. This is years going on. I can't even tell you how long a time she tried to get him to sleep with her, to sleep with her. Just over and over and over. And I don't know how long this took. Verse 19. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Now, do you know what kind of anger we're talking about here? Jealous anger. Mindless anger. Because we already know that the master praised Joseph. This man praised Joseph. This man realized in his heart of hearts that he'd not lost one thing, not one penny to Joseph, and yet Joseph had made him all kinds of wealth. And yet the master's wife said one little thing, and all of the facts and truth went down the drain. Now, if you're going to be a righteous judge in the kingdom of God, you're going to be a total failure if this is how you operate.
Right.
You have to go with the greatest group of witnesses. You cannot go by one stinking word.
Right.
And I'll just look at every one of you in here and tell you this. What I know about you is how I'm going to judge you. If somebody comes with a word to me about you, I'm going to judge what I know about you, not what you say about or somebody says about you. I'm going to try to know your heart, not your actions, because I don't want you particularly to know me by my actions. I want you to know me by my heart. the master decided to sin with the master's wife. Or the guy in charge decided to take the temptation. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. And most of us would say, God, is this what I get for serving you? Come on, because we're too soft. We're way too soft. Now I want to get to a big point here. R. Humans always become comfortable or even satisfied in God's last move. You know when Joseph should have gotten out of there? The first time the master's wife said, you looking good. Joseph should have said, time to go. Time to go. God, I know this is your will, but I know that is not your will, so I'm out of here. See, there's some things we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that are not God's will, such as adultery. Such as sinning against God. We don't have to ask. We don't have to discuss it. We've run into that in the church in times past, where people want to camouflage sin under the cover of the will of God. And I will not go with it. I will not have it. I will not be a part of it. Let's just apart. Let's part. I feel safer when you're not trying to spew that vomit on me.
Amen.
Well, you're so righteous. Thank you. Thank you. That's fine. I'm going to try to do what's right, and I'm going to try to go with what's right.
Amen.
And I'm going to separate myself from what's not right.
Amen.
Please, y'all need to get that in your spirit. Just don't let me say it. You need to say it to yourself until it's the way of life.
Amen.
He was, but his master was gone. He could have got away for a while and taken his garment with him.
Yeah.
And then when they come back, what would you do? I'd go to the master and say, Master, I know you. I'm your slave, and I'll do anything you tell me to do, but I'm not sleeping with your wife. Now the picture's changed. He might have still gotten thrown in jail, Harry, because maybe that's where he was supposed to be. But he would have been cleared. He wouldn't have lost a garment, and they wouldn't have had any evidence.
Amen.
You understand evidence? You don't go around leaving your clothes in places and say, I didn't do anything wrong. The Bible said is abstain from the very appearance of evil. And sometimes the only way to do that is keep your clothes on and get out of town.
Amen.
Right? Sometimes. Probably most of the time. R again. Humans always become comfortable, even satisfied in God's last move. We must be ready to be moved for the kingdom's sake. Now who in the world would vote to leave the master's house and go to prison? I'm afraid unless God was really talking loud, I wouldn't have gone with that so good. So God had to accomplish something to get him out of the comfort of this fancy home into less comfort. And I don't think we would require Joseph to vote yes on this. He would just obey. So I'll get that one? Okay. 21. But the Lord, y'all need to just underline that in there, because that's always it is in every situation. It is. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, we all just look to heaven often every day and say, I can do no wrong. Y'all understand what I just said? By faith, I don't care where I'm at, I don't care what it looks like, I am not wrong.
Yeah.
I can do no wrong. I'm walking in the will of God. It's not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want to, then be wrong. But what I'm telling you is to be right and say it out loud.
Yeah.
Say it in the face of God, in the presence of your enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what happened to Joseph. This is the only way he could have survived, is to keep his spiritual and mental state correct. There's too many tremendous highs and tremendous lows. S. We are never moved from God's favor, no matter how it seems or how it feels.
That's right.
Joseph had to know that. Joseph had to know that he was the favor of God when he was in the mansion. And he had to know when he was in the prison.
Yes.
Or he would have never accomplished God's will. This is a good teaching. He was moved from the mansion to prison. And he knew in his heart, just like we need to know, we are never moved from God's favor, no matter how it seems or how it feels. Now, maybe y'all are just not bothered with any of these problems. So Connie and I'll just tell you, no matter, we're just making decisions. I'm making it and she's going to go along with it if she don't make it with me, which I know she wants to. That no matter what we're looking at, no matter what our horse's patoot we're looking at, we're still walking in God's favor. 22. Now all of this sounds instantaneous, and you got to know in your mind, none of this was instantaneous.
My Bible's got some dates in here. When I've been taken out of Egypt within 1729 BC. And then a little after he was in prison, that was 9 years later.
So
time of 9 years in there.
9 years. And how long have you been dealing with your problem? That little old thing that's not even threatening your life? You know? It's a good point. Now, all of a sudden, not 9 years, just like overnight, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. We're talking about prisoners, guys. Now, here's another little thing I got to tell you. When God gives you responsibility, he gives you the responsibility. You understand what I just said? When he gives you something to work over or lord over, he makes you the responsible entity. Go back in Jeremiah and say, woe to you, where it says, woe to you shepherds, and see if I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it's a scary proposition when you say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want. And he says, this is what I want you to do. And then he looks back and says, then everything they do is your responsibility. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. He didn't even check him out. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. That's another thing we need to get down. By the way, so now you are the keeper of the prison, and you got responsibility for all of these lowlifes.
Yeah.
And God is saying, trust me, I'm making it prosper.
Right.
You're going, God, are you smelling what I'm smelling? Are you listening to these guys cussing and screaming and telling about all these rapes and murders and all that? Are you sure you're making me prosper? See, we got to get past what we see and feel. We got to get into our knower. We got to make that knower work. You see where I am right now, God? No, you got out of my sight for a minute. You hearing what I'm saying? I don't care what it feels like. I don't care if you're afraid of it. I don't care if you don't like it. We need to be tender enough in our hearts to say, God, if this is what you want, if this is what makes you happy, I'm happy.
Yes.
Right? If this is what makes you happy, I'm happy. T, we have favor. Because it is God's favor we walk in.
Right.
How can you not have favor if you're walking in favor? Location, position, it does not deter God's favor.
Right. Amen.
Now, why don't you ask me what you're trying to say? How long do I have to put up with this? Hey, it wasn't my plan. Whatever it is, it's not my plan. Ask God. He's going to say, till it's over. Till I've accomplished in you and through you, two things, in you and through you, what I need to accomplish. I'll remind you again. Do you think the little punk kid with a big dream and a fancy coat had any ability to rule over people without all of these other trials and tribulations. It's the thing we forget. It's the thing most precious in our life that we hate. And that is those bad and good experiences create us a better person.
Right.
More able to do what God wants us to do. Ooh, I just got goosebumps again. I must be going to do something big. That's what you need to say. I must be going to do something big. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. It's a good God. He's a good God. It's a good thing. Hey, is this encouraging you, Connie? Okay, then I'm encouraged. You believe in your heart that God's making what you've touched prosper. And do you think in your heart that because you had to touch these things, you're prospering? And do you think because you're having to serve people in these things, they're prospering? I got to write a large check this week to an attorney. Now, how many people think that made me happy? What I'd rather done is put that thing in a strategic location that he did not survive. That's what I've preferred in my heart. So I was dealing with a master's wife, a temptation that now that this thing is settling down, I can tell you where to put this thing and give myself great pleasure. But the trouble is, I've been studying this. I haven't just been preaching this. I've been studying this. And you know what? He thinks he's serving me, and I think that I'm serving him. Because this is what the story says. And so I had to say, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he's bragging about this cabin that they just bought in Leadville that I helped him pay for. And he's going to get to go fishing. I said, I'm so glad for you. That's not a lie. I have to force me to speak the truth. When the lie wants to come out, I don't want him cursed. I don't want anybody cursed.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And I said, you know, when this is all done, maybe we can go fishing together. Come on.
Yeah.
We need to be humbled a little bit once in a while, right? And that's, you're doing God's will, he'll humble you. It won't make you prideful.
That's right.
When it was over, he said, yeah, when this is over. Now, he didn't say it as an instant response because he's already wondering what kind of weirdo this is. This is not the normal response when you pay a bill. He might want to run it through a scanner. But God, in this thing, is working something in me. Come on, we got to know this. Something in me, something in him, and all is for the kingdom.
Amen.
Well, I don't see it. God didn't ask me to see it. He asked me to trust it.
Yes.
If I could see it, I wouldn't need to trust. And therefore, I had no way to please God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's review some of the things we just saw. Here's what we just saw in this. Number one, his success took time. He's not even at his true success point, and he's still spending a lot of time. It's unfortunate that we're not pliable enough and soft enough that God can just touch us and we're there. That's our fault. It's not God's fault. So in our working out of our salvation with fear and trembling, so that we can serve others and so that we can bless others, it's going to take and has taken time. Two, he became comfortable in God's last move. Now, I didn't say he became soft. I said he became comfortable. There's a difference. Anybody and everybody that's here, that's honest, including me, I would rather be in a mansion than in a prison. I don't care if I'm boss of the prison. Who in the world wants to boss a prison? He became comfortable in God's last move. God had to move him anyway. I don't care if you're not comfortable. Please. We've misused the word love and care so much. We don't even recognize love when he's got a name and he walks right into us. It was the love of God that caused him to go from his father's house into the pit. The love of God sold him to the slaves. The love of God took him to the mansion. The love of God took him out of the mansion and put him back in the prison. Love. Not, that's why God never asks us to define love, because we always come up with the wrong answer. This is God's answer to love. I am. That's all he says. I am. And you've got to trust it. Number three. Listen carefully. Take it personally. If we are called, we are attractive to somebody some way.
Yes.
And I can't succumb to the attraction.
Amen.
My attraction for God must be greater than my flattery of someone being attracted to me.
Yes. Right.
Than the flattery of someone being attracted to me. When I stood before God in front of my wife and made pledges and oaths to her, I did that to God. And if I look any other direction than her, I'm sinning against my God.
Yes.
I don't even care if it's a casual thought. You take every thought captive. You put it in a prison where it can't get out. And then you get your mind back where it's supposed to be. Shall we spend an hour there talking about the different kinds of attractions? And I'm not talking about just men and women. I'm talking about flattery. Verse 4. The enemy will attack your call. This is the master's wife. This is the brothers that wanted to kill. This is the master's wife, the temptation that wanted you to take your heart and life away from God. The enemy will attack your call. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're just called to warm that seat. He'll try to find a way to get you out of that seat. If you're called to take care of security in the body of Christ, he'll find a way to pull that away. If you're called to do a Tuesday night Bible study, he'll find a way. If you're called to attend the Tuesday night Bible study, he'll try to take it away. If you're called to work at the church, to help the church, to preach in the church, to sing, whatever it is in the body of Christ, the enemy is going to try to find a way to get that away from you. It can be any offering in the world, all the way from a woman to money to flattery. It doesn't make any difference what it is. The enemy wants to kill your call.
Yes.
Why? So that he can get back at God. Number five, the enemy never gives up. You know, what we like to do is punch in at the beginning of the day and punch out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And think, whew, I'm through. We get so used to that in our lifestyles, we forget it never happened spiritually. Your call, your work is 24/7 in the kingdom.
Yes.
The enemy will never give up. Will you? Six. The enemy will always use a familiar, trusted voice. I don't know if you know this or not, but I bet you never in your life has a stranger come up and said, "Lie with me." It never happens. A stranger never walks up out of you, never visited him before, and he says, "You're a dirty, rotten sinner. Let's rob a bank. Let's steal. Let's lie." Because you're not susceptible to those things. It has to be a trusted voice. Number seven. We will be moved by a tempting force, or we will be the force.
Yes.
The only two choices. You'll either be the one that's swayed, moved by every wind of doctrine, or you will be the doctrine.
Yeah.
Only two choices. There's no gray. There's no black. There's nothing between black and white.
Yeah.
There's no lukewarm. It makes God sick. You'll either be moved by forces, or you will be the force. Have I said that enough different ways? Because I want it to get in you. It's the truth. Eight. God will use bad to promote you and move you on. I didn't say it's the only thing he has to work with, but I said he'll use it. If you think something's bad is going on in your life, just call it good. Because God is making it good. That's why you say, call those things in ours if they already are, because God is calling them good. If God didn't think it was good for you, it wouldn't happen to you. Hallelujah. This is a good message.
Yes, sir.
Maybe not to you, but it is to me.
Amen.
Where are you today? In the mansion of the prison. Where do you want to move back to? Is God moving in your life at all? That's the real question. Where are you today? Well, the correct answer would be right where God wants me to be. I don't care what it looks like, right where God wants me to be. The response to that is, I'm going to trust God no matter what. That's where I need to be. I'm trusting God no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter how hard it is. Wherever He's taking me, this is where we need to respond to these things that I'm asking. Wherever He's taking me right now, I'm in the will of God. And the trip is in the will of God. That's the vehicle. Do you understand? The vehicle of whatever trip I'm on is the will of God. Because God's will is a trip. Why do you think I called it this? God's will is not you sitting still. God's will is a trip.
Yes.
And no time in your life will you ever be still in the will. Because
yep.
God's will is going to move. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. I have no right to sit still. If you want to know why I've been so anti-retirement in my life, I'm just now figuring that out. It's because God's will is never still. So how could I set in a moving will? At one time we went diving. It was a current dive. It was about a 5-knot dive. In case you don't know what that is, that's a screamer. That's water moving about 7 or 8 miles an hour. And if you think that's slow, just get in it and try it. It was a blast as long as I was going. Strange things would come up. A big old barracuda right in front of me. And I'm going, uh-oh, he's not moving. I am. He wasn't a bit afraid of me. So I just kind of slipped to one side and whoop, go right past him. It's good scenery. Big old rock come up right in front of you. You're going to slam right into this rock. Did you know what the will did or the current did? Took me right around the rock. The will didn't decide to mow the rock down, just decided me to go. It was a trip. It was a good trip. You know when I had a hard time? When I decided to duck down behind a rock and hold on and wait for somebody else to catch up. Grabbed a hold of that structure and the equipment started going. It's like I'm in a hurricane. I've been in hurricanes that's about the same. The equipment's just shuddering. My mask is shuddering. Everything about me shuddering. And I sat there and shuddered and fought the current until I let go. Then it was fine. Well, where are you going? Wherever it's going. I didn't have any choice. You don't swim against those things. You don't even hold on against them. You just go. Scenery is great. Laziest dive I ever had in my life. I didn't have to do a thing. Just went with the current. Ended up wherever the current ended up. Why can't we do that with the will of God? Why can't we just jump in and say, okay, wherever you're going, I'm going. Are you standing for Him so He can do the promotion? Are you standing with what you want to do? The most dangerous thing you can do is give in to what you want to do.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous thing you can do. Allow your wants, your wills, your need to replace His want, will, and need.
Yes.
Where do I start? How do I start in this, Stan? How do I start doing what you're telling me to do? The first thing you got to start with is He loves me. God loves me. Do you look at me? God loves me. Can you say that to me? Can you say that God loves you?
God loves me.
How much?
Tons.
More than you love you?
Probably,
yes. Here's the second step. He loves me more than I love me. So I'm going to quit trying to protect me, and I'm going to reject me for Him. Because He said I'm to have no other gods before me. So I don't care what Stan wants. Some of you get mad when I say I don't care what you want. Listen to me. I don't care what I want. So I can say I don't care what you want. I love God and He loves me and I'm going where He's going. Do y'all hear me? Mansion or prison. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going where God's flowing. So my response is that I'm going to trust as He leads. Can I make a final statement here? You're not going anywhere He hasn't already been. He's already cleared the way. He's already checked out for mines. He's got it covered. There's nothing going in your way that can blow you up. You have to blow you up. You yield to temptation, you're going to get blown out of the saddle. You just stick with Him, the way is clear. Safe. One of the things that the enemy wants to attack us in is our safe place. If he wants to attack you or you or you or you or you, he has to make you feel unsafe. That's the only way he can start it. The way to do that is he's got to lie to you. I don't think God knows where you're at. If he did, you wouldn't be in this situation. That's what he's going to tell you. Sickness comes along. If I don't do this, I'm going to die. Who are you trusting? This or God? Well, I can't. If I've got to move across the street to a different house, how do I know I'm going to be able to make those payments? Well, you don't unless God moves you. Then He has to make them. Come on. Whose bills are you paying? If the Bible says, I've cast all my cares upon Him, you don't have any bills. He's got the bills. Maybe we've gone out of His will and created some responsibilities of our own that we're going to have to mop up. Let's get back in the flow. Let's quit worrying about what's around the corner, down the street, next year. Your heart says, but I feel like I need to do so and so. Don't listen to your heart. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. Listen to God. Well, how am I going to hear God? Oh, I don't know. You'll know. You'll know. Joseph knew. Why would you not know? You think he's a respecter of persons? You need to answer me. Is he a respecter of persons? See, the reason you need to answer is so you firm your foundation. You get strong in your stand. Let me ask you something else. Has there ever been another story like Joseph's? Not that we know about, is there? Which means he went through this on his own. He didn't go through it with a group of people. Why are you saying that, Stan? Because not everybody's story is going to be the same. Whether you trust God or not, same story. How it happens, different story. Why are you saying that, Stan? Because Stan is going to walk out his salvation with fear and trembling. And you're going to walk out yours. Are you hearing me? You're going to walk out yours. I've never been plagued with words from God. I've been plagued with people that said they had words from God. Did you get that? How does a word from God, from you, get to me? With great fear and trembling. I've said this before when we had trouble with another situation. What if a word from God comes from you to me? Here's the word of God, Bill. Hand it to me. Okay. That's the word from God? Yep. Okay. I said it right there. And if that's a word from God, it will fulfill itself. My job is not to make that happen. Amen. It's not to bow to it. It's not to sit there and worship it. is to leave it right there. Say, God, if that's your word, it will take me. Take me. Let God's word take me. Let God's will take me. Just like that current took me. Let God's will, let His flow, let it take me. You understand? How many of you are ready to be taken? You don't want to make it happen anymore. You just want to be taken. I want to be swept off my feet with the love of God and the will of God. I want to be carried across the threshold by the love of God and the will of God. I want His Spirit to move in me and Jesus created in me by His will and by His purpose. I want to bless you by serving you by His will. Not according to how you think I should serve, but how God thinks I should serve. You hearing me? Everybody that's ever been born again is a servant to the will of God. Or you're not born again. Does that make sense? I'm a servant. I'm a slave to the will of God. What are you saying? I'm saying I don't have a choice in my life. And what choices I have. I don't want them anymore. You hear me? What choices that I do have, I don't want them. They're dangerous. I'd rather have not anything to do with them. I'd rather just get in that current, get in the flow and go. Somebody says, let's catch him. Impossible. You can get in the same flow and you can't catch up. If I'm behind, I can't catch you. Because the flow is the same speed, the same direction, and I can't swim against it. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Are you with me in this thing?
Yes.
Are you with God in this thing? That's what we need. Stand with me. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Mm-hmm. We're standing on holy ground, people. The Word of God is holy ground. I want Stan to be destroyed by the Word. And I want that vision, that plan of God to be lifted up and grow, become strong. There are angels all around right now waiting for our response. We can command them. Jesus is my now. Hallelujah. 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 How in the world? How in the world do you follow this? Or what else can I say? I'm looking and I don't have anything else to say. I can say my standard thing. Are all hearts clear in this matter? And I hope your answer is no. I hope your answer is, God, I want you to deal with me forever about this. I can't ask you right now, is everybody in here saved? Is anybody in here not saved? If that's the case, please come forward. We want to pray for you. We want to introduce you to life and that more abundantly. That flow of God and that will of God. And if there are specific needs we need to pray about, we are anxious to serve you in this area, to pray for you. You can come forward in that. Just tell one of us and we'll be happy to do what the Bible commands, which is lay hands on you and you will recover. Praise your Lord. You are holy ground. You are holy ground. And I'm standing. I'm standing firm on holy ground. Praise your Lord. Praise Jesus now. I feel like I need to say this to you now. If you've never given God praise for anything in your entire life, you need to start by giving Him praise for that you were here to hear this message. I praise Him that I was here to hear this message. I didn't even hear this message when I prepared it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. All hearts clear. One more time. Now you know why I wanted to get started. Why the Lord was telling me to get started. Don't take any more time. Hallelujah. 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 So Father, what we do now is we yield to you totally. No, nothing held back. Not one thing. And I'm thankful for the things that my wife and I have gone through and are going through, because I know they're your will, and I know it's to make us better servants for your kingdom, and I know it's to bring us to the point we've been talking about first thing every Sunday morning, and that is what the devil meant for bad, God, you turned it to good. And I am not going to hold any grudges, and I'm not going to get even with anybody, and my job is to serve and not to be served. As for me and my house, and that's our statement. That's where we stand, and we will not have any master's wife in any form turn us to the right or the left. Not a mansion, not a prison, not a slave trade, not a pit, not anything will afford us from that place of God where we're actually serving in the place that you've designed totally. Let that be the prayer that I now speak over your people. That they are hungry and thirsty after your will, after your righteousness. I give you praise. I give you praise. Because now we make the commitment. Everybody that agrees with this prayer, I ask you to say amen loudly.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let me finish this the way I've been told to do with the priestly blessing. Y'all look at me and now say, I receive. See, that's by faith before I even say it. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace in that favor. Everybody say, that's for me.
That's for me.
All right, you're dismissed. Thank you very much.